Okay, tonight we continue our study in Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And we're looking at what Jesus may have expounded to the two disciples in Luke chapter 24 and to the 12 apostles as he began talking about Moses and the prophets and the Psalms and the prophets, explaining how he was must suffer these things and rise from the grave on the third day. We looked at the book of Moses, those passages, and we've been in the Messianic Psalms for we looked at Psalms 8 and Psalms 22. These are what we call Messianic Psalms written by David, who, speaking of David's future seed, who would be the Messiah, the promised king, and Jesus Christ, according to the Old and the New Testament, fulfilled these Old Testament prophecies. So tonight we're going to begin in Psalms 31, verse 5. And we're going to do it like a teaching tonight, like Sunday school. We're going to be looking at different passages. And so you be ready. We may not be here long, but we're going to be moving around in our text, in our Bible. Psalms 31, verse 5. Let me read it unto you. And I know you'll recognize this psalm that was quoted on the cross. Unto thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Of course, Jesus Christ quoted that psalm on the cross. The rabbis believed that this psalm would be quoted on the cross, but it didn't, or would be quoted by the Messiah, but they had no idea it would be recorded, quoted on the at the crucifixion, because they couldn't take a Messiah that would be crucified. They thought he would be the conqueror who would deliver them from Rome. And so we see this in Luke chapter 23. I'll read it to you. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And having thus said thus, he gave up the ghost. So he was quoting this very psalm on the cross. And there's two other passages that are closely related to this. One is in John 10, verse 18, where he said, No man taketh it from me, talking about his life, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This is the commandment that I have received of my Father. Only Jesus Christ had this power to commit his spirit to the Father. What does that tell us? It tells us, number one, that when we die, our spirit goes home to be with the Father, and you're going to bury the body 3 days later, right? And it also tells us here that he didn't go out screaming and kicking unwillingly, an unwilling sacrifice. He willingly gave his life for you and I. And that makes us appreciate much of our salvation. In Hebrews 9:14, it says, How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself? Now, when you read the Bible, you see that offered himself, that refers back to the Christ and the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. He lived a perfect, righteous life, purged your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So this is one of the psalms that Jesus quoted on the cross, and people who deny Jesus as the Messiah, this is the fulfillment of one of the prophecies, okay, that he quoted on the cross. That's historically accurate. That's in the history records, not only in the Bible, but that's recorded in the historical account of Josephus, a first century church father that recorded all this kind of stuff. Now let's go to Psalms 34, verse 20, okay? I don't want to give you too many psalms tonight because we're going to have business conference. Psalms 34, verse 20. Now, this is the context of this psalm. It speaks of God's goodness to his people Israel. And when you place this psalm that we're about to read in verse 20 along with Exodus 12, verse 46, talking about the Passover lamb, and you see it quoted in the Gospel of John, you know that he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalms 34, verse 20, He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Of course, we know that happened on the cross, didn't it? Not one of his bones were broken, but they were all dislocated, right? So let's look at what the beginning of the Passover in Exodus chapter 12, verse 46. And in one house shall it be eaten, talking about the lamb, which was a prefigure or a picture of the coming Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. In one house shall it be eaten, Thou shalt not carry forth out of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall you break a bone thereof. So just like the Passover lamb, not a bone was broken. That was a picture looking forward to Jesus, who would not have a bone broken, right? He is the Passover lamb. But I also brought this out when I went through Exodus on Wednesday nights. They were to observe it in the house here, not to carry the Passover lamb outside of the house. Guess who observes the Lord's Supper? The church. It's not something from the world. We don't carry it outside the house, right? It's for the church, right? It's not for unbelievers. And then also in John chapter 19, verse 31, we see the same thing. And this is the account when the soldiers came to break their legs. The Jews thereof, because it was of the preparation, that's Friday, that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, Saturday, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate for the legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. You know how hypocritical was this? They didn't want him up on the cross on their Sabbath, but they didn't mind killing him, right? And it says, verse 32, then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first, the other two thieves, and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs, fulfilling prophecy, right? But one of the soldiers, of course, they didn't know that. They didn't know they were fulfilling prophecy. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith there out blood and water. And he saw it and bear record, and that is true. He knoweth that it is saith true, that it might be that you might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And then there's another psalm that says that they pierced my side. Now go with me to Psalms 41, if you will, verse 9. And we're going to be working our way through the Psalms and Messiah prophecies. Psalms 41, verse 9, if you will. It says, I will say unto God my rock, which thou hast forgotten, why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Am I on the right? No, I'm not on the right one. Y'all usually stop me by then. Look on 41, verse 9, okay? 41 verse 9. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Who is that? Judas. Notice that, lifted up his heel against me. That same thing is said in Genesis 3:15, where it talks of Satan. He's going to bruise the heel of Jesus, but God's going to crush his head. So that tells us that when Satan's betrayal could not keep Jesus in the grave, right? He came out of the grave on the third day. My own familiar friend, a man who was numbered with the apostles, but was an apostate. So this verse here speaks of David's experience. That's the primary interpretation of mercy following his confession of sin and betrayal. But the psalmist on the cross, Jesus applies this psalm to the betrayal of his friend Judas. And that's recorded in John 13:18. I want you to turn there. I want to show you something here. John 13:18. Even though I make my living in the Word, I missed something here until I looked at it again this week. John 13:18. This is when this psalm is applied on the cross, or before the cross at the Passover meal. Now, Judas didn't take the Lord's Supper, because he wasn't a believer. He departed before the Lord's Supper, but he took the Passover meal. In John 13:18, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture might be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. So Judas took the Passover meal, but he didn't take the Lord's Supper. But notice what Jesus says. I speak not of you all, the other apostles. He says, because I know whom I have chosen. Remember, Jesus says, you haven't chosen me, I've chosen you, right? What does this tell us? He didn't choose Judas, right? Do y'all see it? He's talking to the other apostles and says, I know whom I've chosen. okay? But that the scripture might be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now, this is amazing here. You see the sovereignty of God and the human free will working together. And the psalm says there would be one who would betray him, right? Betray him with a kiss. But yet Judas had a choice, right? Judas had a choice. Of course, with God's sovereignty and human free will, he works it out to accomplish his sovereign will, okay? So he betrayed the Messiah. Now, go to Psalms 46, verse 8. This will be the last one. Psalms 48, verse 8 and 10. Now, 46, verse 8 and 10. I just said that to see if y'all would catch it that time. Psalms 46, verse 8. I got to keep them on their toes, John. If I don't, I go to sleep. Psalms 46, verse 8. Okay? 9 and 10. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Yeah, if you already know what that's describing, right? The battle of Armageddon. And he said, but be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. So this psalm here speaks of the final peace on earth, going from the Battle of Armageddon into the millennial reign of Christ. And we see there's three passages of scriptures that we see this explained, okay? Two of them are in Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretches forth the heavens and layeth the foundations of the earth, formed the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people around about. Now, right now, Jerusalem is not a cup of trembling to the world, but there's coming a time when nations will shake at what's going on and what God does with Israel and with Jerusalem. He says, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people around about, and when they shall be in the siege upon against Judah and against Jerusalem. This is when all nations of the world are gathered there around Israel to in the plain of Megiddo in the battle of Armageddon, 7 years after the rapture. He says, and in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut to pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against me. And he's given a prophecy here in Psalms 46 about this final world peace that is coming, right, during the millennial reign. Now go with me to, well, you don't have to turn there, but in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 2, 3, and 4, we see the same thing. If you want to know about the second coming of Christ in the Old Testament, go to Zechariah 12 through 14. Chapter 12 through chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 2. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and residue of the people shall not be cut off from that city. Then shall the Lord go forth. Now, this is when he comes back at the Mount of Olives. He sets his feet on the Mount of Olives and begins to go rescue and release his people. He says, and he go forth and fight against the nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand on that day upon the Mount of Olives. I don't see no reason why it can't be the same spot that he ascended from the Mount of Olives. Okay? And he's coming back at the second coming. At the rapture, he comes in the air for the church 7 years earlier. He said, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave into the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a great, very great valley. There's going to be an earthquake that's going to change the topography of the land there, okay? And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And then there's one more passage I want to share with you that fulfills Psalms 46, verse 8, 9, and 10, and that's found in Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. Now, see, after the millennial reign, Satan's going to be freed. He's bound during the 1,000 years. He's going to be released, and then there's going to be another revolt, okay, to gather them together to do battle, the number of whom is of the sand of the sea. And he went up into the breadth of the earth and encompassed the camp of the saints. And that's not us. That's people that have come to know Christ during the tribulation that hadn't been martyred. And he says, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. So here we see four more psalms, and next week we'll get into some more. And because we got business conference tonight, I was going to cut it a little shorter, okay? All right. I'd like to announce that and call us into quarterly conference. May we have the reading of the minutes from last conference. Well, first of all, everybody.